As it says up on the screen, welcome. Welcome if you've been here loads of times. Welcome if you've only been a few times. And welcome if you're not even in here, but you're on the Zoom, is it, still? Yes. It's good to come. It's good to worship God and to praise his name. Start with some words from 1 John chapter 2. Phil is preaching on some words later on in 1 John 2, but I just wanted to pick up on these words. And it says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're here to worship God, an amazing God, a God who works in our lives. And actually, these ones echo a verse in 1 John 1, chapter 9, which simply says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's just pray, and then we will come to our first song. Lord, we praise you for the work that you did for us on the cross. And praise you that you accept us as we are. But praise you even more that you don't leave us as we are, that you continue to work in our lives. And thank you that when we go wrong, when we mess up, we can come to you and we can say we're sorry. And Lord, you forgive us. Thank you for that, that your love for us forgives and nurtures and takes us on in our lives. We lift the service to you. Pray for your blessing on us here. And Lord, we thank you for the money that's been given, whether in the box outside or through other means, and pray that you would use that to further your work in people's lives through this church and beyond. Amen. So our first song, God is Love. Let heaven adore him. And it talks about God's love overcoming sin and death and how he holds the whole world in one embrace. Please stand if you're able to. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
friend wanted to come today, so I brought him along. Come here. Not coming out! Leopold? No! Leopold? Come on. No! Come here. Ha! Leopold, you're now being rude. Come and say hello. All right. Hey. Leopold, come back. What's the matter? Not happy. Well, I can tell you're not happy. What's going on?
Tom's been horrible.
Tom's been horrible? Have you two been arguing?
It's not fair.
What happened?
He forgot to come round. He forgot to come round?
Yes.
Well, but we can all make mistakes. Oh, he's not coming again.
What do you mean he's not coming again? He's your friend.
Was.
Was? Leopold. Why? Leopold, have you ever let anybody down? Or forgotten to do what you promised?
Yes. But Tom's not coming to my party.
Hang on, Tom's not coming to your party? Well, look. Has Tom said sorry?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure he didn't do it deliberately. And if he'd said sorry, he probably meant it.
Yes.
Have you forgiven him?
No.
Look, how would you feel sorry if you... Sorry, how would you feel if you'd done something wrong? And said sorry... And someone didn't believe you or wouldn't forgive you? Look, I know it's hard, but hanging on to the bitterness will not help you in the long run at all. And it won't help Tom either.
Not happy.
No, I can tell you're not happy, and you're not happy now. I've told you off, are you?
Will God forgive me?
Will God forgive you? I should... if you mean it, yes. We just had those verses about it. We had that promise that we started with. As we try to live as God wants us to, and we mess up, we've got Jesus as our advocate. Advocate. What it means is, quite simply, Jesus pleads our cause with our Heavenly Father, like I did with you for Tom.
Oh.
If you put your faith in Jesus and his death on the cross, then you become part of God's family.
Oh, this lot?
Well, these are some of them.
Oh. All shapes and sizes.
Yeah, all shapes and sizes, yes. Nobody else is bright yellow. Yeah, all right. Okay, sorry. But then, if Jesus prays for us, and if we go wrong, we can still be forgiven.
Oh, that's good.
It's all linked to God's grace. We become Christians by God's grace, and forgiveness is made possible because Jesus died on the cross for us, the atoning sacrifice, as it said. And God's grace continues to work in our lives, making us more and more like Jesus.
Ah, that's good. Hey, video.
No, I haven't forgotten you the video. You're all right. And you've seen it.
Yes. Laura?
Yes, Leopold?
Sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, you want to go back and doze again, don't you? Yes! And while you're doing that, think about how you're going to make things up with Tom. All right. Okay, I think you better say bye-bye in the only way you can. And Phil will come. Yes, I know he's your friend. Phil will come and sort the video out, okay? Ta-ra! Yeah, you like that, do you? Come on, let's go and sort you out. You can carry your bag as well.
You're all as daft as him waving bye-bye. Right, I wonder if you enjoy a quiz. I've got one or two questions for you this morning. I am told it's somebody's birthday today. Do we know whose it is? Big smile down on the front row, because it's Judith's birthday. Happy birthday, Judith. And there are two. And there are two organisations in the town who are celebrating birthdays this week. One of them is celebrating its 10th birthday. Do you know what that is? It's Revive Coffee Shop. Yes, we are 10 years old this week. I know some of you volunteer in the shop, some of you are on the management committee. Andrew, myself, Daphne and Karen are on the management group from the church here. And we've got to be 10 years old. I think it's fantastic. Because, believe me, the last few years have been a struggle. If it hadn't been for government help in COVID, we would not have survived. Quite honestly, we wouldn't have survived. But we've just had the shop done out and was 10 years old. I said there were two organisations in the town. Do you know what the other one is? It's celebrating its 40th birthday. I wasn't aware it was the British Legions. If it is, it might be, but it wasn't the one I was thinking of. Interesting. It's Marlowe House. Marlowe House is 40 years old, the same week, actually. It's this week again. And Marlowe House and Revive both have something, well, have several things, actually, in common. Any ideas what they might have in common? Beth just said me, yes. I'm a trustee of Marlowe House and a trustee of Revive, so I am in common, thank you. It wasn't one. Any others? Anything else?
Volunteers.
They both rely on volunteers, very much so.
Funding,
absolutely. Absolutely. Both of them rely on funding. They're, both of them are trusts. They're run by charities. Revive is run by a trust called Desborough Cornerstone Trust, and Marlowe House is run by Vine Community Trust. They're not-for-profit charities. We have to raise money to keep them running. Both Marlowe House and Revive have been decorated over the summer for the anniversaries, for the birthdays, and both of them. You can correct me later if I'm wrong about Marlowe House, but I think both of them, when they started, the churches were very involved in starting them up. Jenny's saying yes. The churches were very involved in starting up Marlowe House and Revive Coffee Shop. Marlowe House is the day centre. If you don't know where Marlowe House is, that's the original Baptist church. That was the chapel. It's been... A brick skin has been put around it now. You wouldn't recognise it as a chapel, either outside or inside, but that is the chapel, the old chapel. Marlowe House is the old chapel. It's a daycare centre in that people go there for the day. Some go for 5 days a week, some only go for 1 day a week. They come not only from Desborough and Rothwell, but from Kettering, from the surrounding area, even into Leicestershire, into Market Harborough. They come together. We also go out and take Meals on Wheels out to people, not just weekdays, but 7 days a week. There's a Meal on Wheels service comes out from Marlowe House. I think it's a wonderful community charity, a wonderful thing that we have in this town. And yes, it's lovely to think that the churches were behind the formation of it, little sad in a way, perhaps, that the churches aren't involved in it now. It's lovely that the churches are still keen to support Revive Community Shop. Again, I just wonder, in 40 years' time, will I be saying the same thing? I just leave that for you to think about. I said it was, I'm going to do it in the way of a quiz, and that's because I want to publicise a quiz that's taking place here a fortnight on Saturday, and that is the Tear Fund Big Quiz. This is a national event that happens every year. I think we've held it once before, at least once before in Desborough. Laura and I have been happy to compare it for a number of years at Rockingham Road, and we're very pleased that we're going to do it again here in a fortnight's time. We've got a little promotional video about the quiz.
What are you guys doing?
We are filming this year's Tearfund's Big Quiz Night. That's 2023.
Yeah, it's a quiz night.
It's big quiz night. It's a quiz.
It's a quiz night. Lots of fun.
But it's not just a quiz.
It's to raise funds for Tearfund's great work in fighting poverty across the world.
Yeah, literally, the money that this quiz raises will help to make a difference in the lives of people facing some of the most extremely difficult circumstances around the world. And it's a really fun way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's on the 7th of October.
2023.
And who's it for, Betsy?
It's for everyone. Anyone can come. Your church, your community, anyone, any
your
club.
Your cricket club, your crochet club, your coffee club, your you. You are invited, yeah. And all your friends are invited, and Betsy will be there.
Yep, Taryn will be there.
I will be there.
And you can sign up. All you have to do is go online to Tearfund's website and you can get all the information that you need.
It'll tell you how to host a quiz or join someone else's quiz, and you get literally everything that you need. So yeah. There's this video that we're filming today with all the questions. There's some pretty famous hosts asking some questions.
Yeah.
And we'll do it all for you. So Tearfund's Big Quiz Night.
Yeah, don't miss it. Be there.
See you there.
There we are, a fortnight on Saturday, the big quiz night organised by Tearfund here in this church. You come, you either come with a team, we're saying teams of up to, what, six? Something like that. If you haven't got a team, just come along and we'll make some new friends on the evening and put you together. So please advertise it, please bring your friends. Saturday evening, the 7th of October at 6:30, we'll open the doors and we'll start the quiz at 7. Thank you. Now we're going to need the music group to assemble and going to sing.
The other thing we need to say while the music group come, very simple. Wednesday evening, church members, there's a church meeting. 7:30, I think. And everything else you need to know is on the notice sheet. Is that it? That's it. That's fine. Now, we've got two songs for you here. The second one we'll come to in a minute, of course, but the music group didn't know. I'm hoping folk here know, but consequently, I was told I had to come down here. And the first one, Only by Grace Can We Enter. A lovely song.
Oh,
Let's pray. Father, thank you that you hear us. Whether or not microphones are working, whatever's going on, you hear even a whisper. You hear even what's in our hearts. And just thank you that we can stand here in your grace. We can come to this place knowing that Jesus died for us. And we come, Lord, because of your love, because of what you've done. And we just praise you for that. Amen.
Amen.
The second song, in some way, summarizes where we are now, having come to God through his grace on the cross. Because we do things wrong. At times, the evil one tells us we're failures. At times, we feel guilty. But we can come to the God of grace, and as it goes on to say, your mercy covers me. With God, there is forgiveness. And this one summarizes this. Now, how many of you actually know this?
One.
Two?
Two.
We know it because we've practiced
it. Right. Can I suggest then that... go for it. You promised to join in when you pick it up. Okay, thank you. On that one then. Okay. Right, our reading comes from the first letter of John, which I've hopefully got in here as well. Okay. It's disappeared. Yeah, I better. starting at verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, his love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever.
The story goes that when St. John was an old man, he became unsteady on his feet, and some of the members of the church would carry him in his chair into the meetings. I'm sure he was a lovely old man, St. John, gentle and loving, and the members of the church, pleased to see him, would ask, John, what is your message for today? To which St. John would answer, little children, love one another. Every time the church came together and John was carried in, they would ask him for his message for the day. And every time he would always say, little children, love one another. John was by now an old man, and no doubt some thought he was getting a bit forgetful, in that he always said the same thing. Others, though, were becoming frustrated that this elderly saint of the church, probably one of the few people left alive who had actually met Jesus, that John could think of nothing new to say. So they challenged him and said, John, why is it that whenever you come here, you say the same thing? Little children, love one another. To which John replied, if you only did what I ask, that alone would be enough. Love, as the popular song goes, makes the world go round. And love is at the centre, the heart, the core of the Christian message. If I was asked to say in one phrase what my understanding of God is, what my definition of him would be, I don't think I could do any better than quote the simple phrase, God is love. It's a common theme throughout Scripture, and we didn't have much difficulty choosing hymns this morning because it's a theme throughout all the hymns. And I would hope that you would agree with me that outside the Bible, we see the love of God in the world around us. Creation points to a wonderful, loving creator, a fantastic God who fashioned this world out of love. And there are many people who believe or want to believe in a loving God when they see a spectacular view or watch a brilliant sunset or see a newborn child. But if we really want to see the love of God, then we need to look to Jesus. As John put it in his gospel in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God the Father gave us his Son, his one and only Son. Now, when Jesus left heaven and came to this earth, he was separated for a while from his Father. And in that separation, there were a few high spots, such as Jesus' baptism and the transfiguration on the mountain. When God spoke from heaven, it was as if the Father's pride at those moments couldn't be contained. And the voice thundered from the clouds, "This is my beloved Son." And when we see the enormity of the Father's love for the Son, for Jesus, then we can appreciate something of the love that God has for us. You see, God loves us even though we of ourselves are quite unlovely. God's love is completely independent of us deserving it. God doesn't love us because we're nice people. God doesn't love us because we do good things. God loves us because God is love. Now, you know yourselves on a human level that when you're in love with somebody, you really want the whole world to know. When I was a young school teacher, I'm going back 40 years now before I came into the ministry, I used to find graffiti on the front of exercise books of the sort, "Tracy loves Darren," or "Jason for Vicky," that sort of thing. And the young bachelor, Mr. Staves, used to say, "Cover it up," or worse, would tear the cover off the exercise book and throw it in the bin. It was only much later, when I fell in love myself and found myself subconsciously humming love songs, that I realised the need to tell the world. Now, do you know that God is so in love with us that he tells us so? In Malachi 1:2, it says, "I have loved you," says the Lord. Jeremiah 31, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." God is nuts about you. His love isn't a passing adolescent fancy, but deep, true, and enduring. The psalmist in the Bible once asked the question where he could go to escape from God's love, and went on to conclude that it was impossible. For God's love is so immense, as it says in Psalm 103, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." Now think of the greatest distance that humans have ever travelled. Where is it? To the moon. I don't think it's any accident that several astronauts have had a profound experience of God as they've travelled out into space and look back on earth as God sees it. God loves us immensely with a perfect love, but always wants the very best for us. So when we talk about God's love or pray, "The love of God be with you," we're saying that we might have the knowledge of God's love firmly fixed in our minds and in our hearts, so that we live our lives relying upon it. And yet God's love is so much more than just knowledge. Let me try and explain it like this. As some of you know, I enjoy baking. And a few weeks ago, when it was my birthday, one of the presents I received was a cookery book by Mary Berry. And what makes this book particularly special, you see, I told you I'd work this into a sermon, what makes this book particularly special is that a fortnight ago, when we were on holiday and went to Chatsworth Country Fair, I got Mary Berry, there she is, to sign my book. There we are. Yes. She's only put one L in Philip, but at 88, I'll forgive her. It was lovely to meet her. Now, I've got the book. I've got a signed copy. Like all cookery books nowadays, it's not only full of recipes, but every other page is a photograph. A photograph of wonderful, wonderful food. And yet, as I sit here this morning, as you sit here this morning, I have to tell you, but as of yet, I haven't cooked a single thing from this particular book. And until I do, I will never fully appreciate its worth. You see, it's one thing to talk about God's love. It's another thing to experience it. It's rather like food. I can marvel at those photographs in the book, sponges that look so light they could float away, and creations that almost defy gravity the way they've been built. But to fully appreciate the skill of the baker, I need to taste it. You can never truly appreciate all that's on offer unless you consume the food. And one of my favourite verses in the Bible comes from Psalm 34, where it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I can talk about God's love until the proverbial cows come home. But really, you need the assurance and the experience of God's love. And just to come back to the analogy of food again, the verse in the psalm says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And it doesn't just mean us to do it once. What good would it be to eat once in a lifetime and then never again? Well, it really would only be once in a lifetime, wouldn't it? You get it, yeah. And love, God's love for us, is not something we just experience once. Okay, perhaps there was a time when you first met the Lord, he first experienced his love. But just as you need to go on eating, so you need to keep being aware of God's love. We need to feel hugged. We need to feel the Lord's arms around us. And indeed, God wants to do that, to give us that assurance. In Deuteronomy comes this beautiful verse, chapter 33. "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God wants you to know the assurance of his love, for the simple reason that God is love. He wants you to know it. And God wants you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Indeed, that was Jesus' command to his disciples, and by extension to us. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And that's why St. John, who was there at the Last Supper when Jesus gave that command to love one another, that's why John was so insistent that the church do it. But he says, you cannot do it unless you know yourself what love is. So he reminds them. He says, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning." Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, doesn't use the word fathers. He uses the term veterans. He paraphrases it as, "You veterans were in on the ground floor and know the one who started all this." I wonder if you think of yourself as a veteran. Some of us are veterans in the Christian faith. Veterans, perhaps in the sense that we've been a Christian longer than we weren't. And sometimes it's true of anybody, and really any group that you belong to, that sometimes over time your enthusiasm lags, or it isn't what it used to be. I think that can be quite true of Christians. And some of us who are perhaps a little longer in the tooth, and I'm certainly including myself in that, sometimes it's good to remember what it was first like to know that God loves you. Yet love is one of those words that constantly gets diluted. I love the warmth of yesterday afternoon. I love the fact that Laura made some flatbreads for tea yesterday. And yet you know that on a proper level, human love is about having feelings for another. I was reading an article in a newspaper a little while ago by a well-known writer who'd been single for many years and thought he would never have a whirlwind romance, and then he did. And he realised that he was in love with his partner when he not just enjoyed them being together, but was sad when they were apart. Then he realised that his feelings were affected by his partner's feelings. When his partner was happy, he was happy. When his partner was out of sorts, he felt out of sorts and wanted to make it right. And God's love for us is a little bit like that. God wants the very best for us. He knows what's best because he's our creator. And he wants us to have it and enjoy it. And we love God when we in turn have that same love for others. You see, God's love is a dynamic force. It does things, it changes things. It's always working, it's constantly active. God's love is patient, patient with people, seeking always to understand them. God's love is kind, but it tries to find a gentle way of dealing with others. It looks for ways of being constructive rather than destructive. It doesn't envy, because it doesn't begrudge what others enjoy. Doesn't boast, in fact it is more conscious of what others do not have rather than what it possesses itself. God's love reproduced in us should not be proud, should not consider first its own needs, but rather those of others. It doesn't rest upon what's been achieved, but rather looks at what still needs to be done. When Jesus had his last supper with his disciples, he gave them this command. It was very simple, and you know it. A new command I give you, love one another. And then Jesus says again, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Why do we do it? Well, first because Jesus tells us to, so that by doing it we show our love for God. But also, as he went on to say, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, I've talked this morning about God's love, and strictly speaking, this chapter in John's letter is about love and hatred for fellow believers. Do I need to say much about hate? Not really. How can you hate if you know God's love? But God's love wants the best for you, and that's the level of love that we should show to others. Okay. As a family of believers here in the church, there will be some people you like more than others. Let's face it, you can always choose friends, but you can't choose family. And here in the church, we're brothers and sisters. Some we'll like more than others. But hate is something that can have no part of church life in a Christian fellowship. Jesus said, love one another, because by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And I'm sorry to say that the reverse is also true. As a hospital chaplain, it's been my privilege over the years to meet many people. A lot of folks I've met have a belief, but for one reason or another, are put off church. And it's often the behaviour of church members that puts them off. Where there are disputes that aren't reconciled, disagreements that are not resolved, prejudice that is allowed to fester, then a breeding ground exists for hate. And where hate exists, we don't witness to the love of the living God. John, in the middle part of the passage, tells his readers what I think they already know. He says to the dear children, your sins have been forgiven. He says to the fathers, veterans, you know him who is from the beginning. And he says to the young men that they have overcome the evil one. It's almost like John is saying, you know all this. Keep on going. St. Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, prays that his readers might know God's love and Christ's perseverance. God's love and Christ's perseverance. That's a good phrase for us, isn't it? And I'll leave it with you as a verse of encouragement to set us off on a new week. I pray that you might know God's love and Christ's perseverance, that we might have the knowledge, the assurance, and the power of God's love, and have the perseverance of Christ, the endurance that Jesus had, endurance that will keep us going, keep us fixed on the power of love, and not the fleeting desires of the world. As John finishes this section by saying, the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God, that is the God who is love, the God who desires that we should love one another, whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen. And on this day when we think about love, it's appropriate that we come now to communion. We call it communion. We call it the Eucharist. We could call it the Mass. We could call it Holy Communion. In some circles, it's known as a love feast. It's a meal when we remember the love that Jesus had for us, God's love in Jesus, the love that took his life. We have bread. We have wine. Remind us of what Jesus has done for us. Love is his word. Love is his way. We might not have sung this here before, but it's a lovely hymn. It's very simple, and each verse, you'll see how it's constructed, and has a lovely little chorus. Richer than gold is the love of my Lord, better than splendor and wealth. Brian.
Thank you.
Now, can I try and see if this is working? Okay. So, I have the privilege of coming to communion. And get that straight. Because we had harvest last week, I've got a communion service which is entitled Creation Tide. So it seemed a suitable one to have this Sunday. And it's reflected in the words of the invitation to the table. It says, at this table we see that grain once scattered on the fields and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside are now reunited on this table in bread and wine. Each of us is invited to gather at this table a foretaste of the banquet when God's whole church will be gathered together from the corners of the earth into God's kingdom. All who proclaim Jesus as Lord and Saviour are welcome to partake of this table. But if for any reason during the service you just want to let the bread and wine pass you by, that's absolutely fine, and please feel no embarrassment at it. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of creation. As we take every step on our life's pilgrimage, may we take time to wonder and give you thanks. From each sunrise to every sunset, in all seasons and with every breath, may we celebrate our home in creation and the gift of life. Yet God's whole creation groans, and the land produces thorns and thistles and longs to be set free. Our sin affects all around us. And so we come and we confess our sins in penitence and faith. So, if you would please, can you join in with those words? Well, I've forgotten to do something. Pauline, I hope you can see it. Okay, it's up there. So let's pray. Creator God, we confess that we have not honoured and obeyed you. We have broken our relationships with one another, abused your fragile creation, wounded your love, and marred your body image in us. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our sins. Father, forgive us. Lead us from apathy to love. Strengthen us as stewards of your precious people and of glorious creation, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Amen. And another prayer. Praise you, Almighty God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, for giving us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this bread and wine, which reminds us of your forgiveness. We pray that you would open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then we have what's sometimes called the institution. It tells a story, but I invite you, after each phrase, to respond as on the bold on the screen. So, it's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. Our Father, you embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life. Our Father, Jesus opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Our Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all." As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. Our Father, as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. Amen. So I invite you to draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and the blood which he shed for you. And we will eat and drink in remembrance that he died for each of us, and we will feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Can I invite the deacons to come up? Thank you very much. And invite you to eat as you are served. Thanks, Graham. Thank you, Jane. As we drink the wine, we pray that God would form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to his glory. And we will wait until all are served and we will drink together. Let us drink together and remember that Christ's blood was shed for each of us and be thankful. Amen. So we come to a time of prayer. First of all, another prayer for us all to say together. Let's pray the bit in bold together. Lord of all creation, as we have received the bread and wine, fruits of the earth and tokens of salvation, so with joy we celebrate your goodness and commit ourselves to serve you on your earth. As we see our climate changing, give us compassion to care deeply that people are suffering now from spoiled harvest and violent storms, from drought and flood. And Lord, we pray for those people in Morocco. We pray for those people in Libya, where there are clear evidence of climate change having an impact. Lord, pray that you'd be with the rescue situation there and just bring the help to just help those people and rebuild their lives. And Father, we think of other situations around the world similarly affected. Lord, just provide for those people, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us the imagination to see that future generations are in peril and may not know the beauty we see. May our actions reflect a love for your world, and our prayers be shaped by a longing for justice for all, and our imaginations inspired to hope for a world free from poverty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we pray that, Father, we're so conscious of justice, of those people who are trapped within warfare and violence. We continue to pray for the Ukraine and for Russia and all that's going on there. And Lord, just ask for peacemakers, and for wisdom for the leaders, that they would see what's actually happening and turn from the evil that's happening. And Lord, we come nearer home. We pray for our country and for decisions that are made in Westminster. And we pray for our area here. We thank you for Marlowe House. We thank you for the Revive coffee shop and for the work that's done there and the love that's shown. And pray you would bless them as they celebrate their birthdays and give them vision for their work going forward. We pray for ourselves here, longing that this church would continue to be a beacon for you, and that you would continue to work in our lives, ministering to those around and drawing in those that need you and just showing them your love. Amen. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together and draw all these things together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so we come to our last hymn. And how many of you had this at your wedding? Some can't remember. But it's a wonderful hymn for any time, whether you're singing to weddings or funerals or just generally. And we celebrate God's love and his ongoing work. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. is that wonderful line, change from glory into glory. Those of you that had it at your wedding, I am sure that you can sing that with more faith now than you could when you had it at the wedding. And when you sing it in another few years' time, you'll sing it then with more faith than you're singing it now, because we're changed. God's at work. Anyway, we better finish. Let me say the blessing. May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the source of all goodness and growth, pour his blessings upon all things created and upon us, his children, that we may use his gifts to his glory and the welfare of all peoples. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.